I was thinking about the Apostle Paul and his relationship with the church in Corinth. I know that there were a lot of folks in Corinth who looked at the Apostle Paul and, well, they may have thought to themselves, why would I want to do something with my life that would make me like this guy that I see standing before me? I might look at somebody like Mark and say, you know, I would really like to be like Mark. He's fit, he's in shape, and he looks like he's a prosperous individual, he's well-spoken. I would like to be like Mark. I would like to be like Ron, young guy. I'm probably past the point that I can be like Ron, but nobody looked at Paul that way. A lot of people looked at Paul and they, after they looked at Paul, said, you know, I really don't want to have anything to do with this. I don't want to be like him. And when you think about Paul, you have to ask yourself that question. Well, Paul, knowing about that question, wrote this in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, beginning. We're going to begin reading it about verse 16, and we'll read down part of the way through the 5th chapter. But in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, excuse me, 4, and starting at verse 15, he says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. The things that are unseen are eternal. We know that if the tent that is our earthly house is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we'll not be found naked. While we're still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we're always of good conscience, or good courage, excuse me. We know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we walk not by faith, but by we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we're of good courage. We would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that everyone may receive what is due for what he's done in the body, whether good or evil. So Paul says, we don't give up. No matter what happens, we just don't give up. And he explains the reason why we don't give up. When he talks about this contrast that he draws in, well, it's the contrast that begins in verse 16. He says, we do not lose heart. Our outer self is wasting away, but our inner self is being renewed day by day. This light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. We look not at the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. You know, it's just true. Our outward body is a dying body. It's part of a dying world. It really can't ever escape this world that we're living in. And because it belongs to this age of decay, we have affliction. Sometimes we feel it acutely. Sometimes we find ourselves in a hospital. Sometimes we find ourselves incapacitated at home. But it is what we see every day. It's our world. It's just a decaying world. But there's an inner body that's not part of this decaying world. And you can't make the inner body, the inner self, any better by virtue of using the things that belong to the dying world. In other words, the things that help the outer body, money, health, those things are unimportant to the inner body. And you can't make the inner body any better with money. It won't work. By the same token, the apostle says, you can't make it any worse with anything that belongs to the decaying world. It is renewed by the wonderful power of a resurrected Jesus. And that's the point that the Apostle Paul makes. This renewal is the work of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to have to learn to appreciate the work that the Spirit does in our lives every day if we're going to be like the Apostle Paul and say, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. You see, there's something that is inescapable about this outer body. It's temporal. It lives in time. And it's going to wear out. It is not eternal. It never can be. In fact, Jesus said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's just not possible. Now, the difficult thing is that this outer body that we have is the one we can see. We can't see the inward man. Have you ever made the observation that outward manifestations of physical ailments are the things that people focus on? And the inner being, people can't see that, and they don't appreciate it. They don't understand it. Well, I experience that fairly regularly. I have a disabled parking sticker or placard that I use in my car. And that's because I have difficulty walking any great distance. I have clots in my legs. I get out of the car after I put the disabled sticker on the dashboard and I start walking toward the store. I can't tell you how many bad looks I get from people who think, you're not disabled. That's because they can't see it. We do it to our veterans. You're not disabled. All that's wrong with you is PTSD. Because it's not like you're missing an arm. It's not like you're missing a leg. Those things we can see. It's the unseen things that the apostle is mostly concerned about. And he goes beyond even the unseen things that belong to the decaying age. The clots in my leg, those are unseen, yes, but they still belong to the dying age. It's not the unseen part that the Apostle Paul is talking about. It's not the inside part. I see Dave, and he up and doing everything he wants to do. In fact, he sent me a message and said, I'm really blessed. I can do pretty much what I want to do. It's not that it's on the inside. It's the unseen being. And if you had to describe it, it's the soul. That's what the Apostle Paul is really concerned about. And that's why we don't quit. It's the soul. For that reason, we walk by faith, not by sight. If we were talking about the things that are seen, even the things that are on the inside that we can only see with an X-ray, if that's what we were talking about, we would walk by sight. But the apostle says, that's not what's really important. Now, let me stop here. Suffering is real. There is no doubt that people suffer a great deal in this old decaying body. If I'm in the middle of suffering and struggle, it's not light. It's not a momentary affliction. It feels like it's going to go on forever. It feels like it's crippling. It feels like we just can't survive. We need to honor that suffering. And we need to give it its due. We need to understand how difficult that suffering is. But by the same token, when we give suffering its due weight, we have to be careful not to give it any more than it deserves. Suffering is hard. It will always be hard. But it needn't defeat us. Think about Paul's life, if you will, for just a minute. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. That's an amazing passage. When you get home this afternoon, if you want to read about somebody that suffered, read 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned and left for dead. He was beaten with rods. I can't imagine what he must have looked like. Can't imagine what he must have felt like. I'm pretty sure that when the Apostle Paul got out of bed in the morning, he had to have several Advil before he could take his first step. Now, it's also true that he had known glory. He says in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, that he was in the third heaven. He says, I'm not sure whether it was me or whether it was a vision. I'm not sure exactly what that was, but he was caught up to the third heaven. He has seen glory. He knows that it's real. I wish I could be like that. I can't. Paul could say, I'm one of the few people that can walk by sight as far as this inner man is concerned. Just like Jesus could say, I've known the Father. That's where I came from. I know that heaven is real. I can talk about heaven from the perspective of sight. I can't do that. So Paul knows glory. And let me tell you something else. Paul knew that the resurrection of the inward man was real. Paul has seen the risen Lord. Remember when he was on the road to Damascus? The bright light shines around him. Nobody can see what's going on in the light except Paul. Everybody else just sees the light. Paul saw the Lord. He knew that he was raised from the dead. The God that he serves is the God that can do that. Look at 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. And we'll begin here in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And we'll begin here about halfway through verse 9. He says, we don't rely on ourselves, but we rely on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril. He will deliver us. On him we've set our hope that he will deliver us again. Paul is confident in this resurrection. And that's what means that Paul can't give up. Now let's think about this power that the Apostle Paul knew. And let's think about it relative to us. Right here, right now. Ephesians, the first chapter. The apostle expands this idea. And I think here in Ephesians 1, he makes it clear what this means to us. Ephesians 1, at verse 15, beginning, he says, for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your understanding or the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? What is the immeasurable greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his great might that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he has put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Paul said that he prayed to God. And his request of God, in the American Standard Translation, he says it this way, I prayed that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. As I was looking at this idea, I read someone who mentioned that power is kind of an amorphous word. Power includes latent power. And maybe the best illustration of latent power is all of the water that backs up behind the dam. There's a great deal of power when you look at all of that water that's backed up behind the dam. But we need to think of it in terms of energy. We need to think of it in terms of might and an energetic kind of power. Don't know how many of you have ever waded in a river, trying to cross a river. They say that if the water gets up above your knees, you're in real trouble. I got in trouble and the water wasn't even close to up over my knees. It was just about halfway up my shins. Talk about energy. It can sweep a car away. All it has to do is get up to the door sill. And we see evidence of it every time there's a flood. It looks like what you see right there. Cars just stacked up willy-nilly. We're not talking about something calm, about something that's pent up like the water behind the dam. We're talking about power that moves, that has energy. That's the power that we need to begin to see. That's what Paul was praying for. It's the power that we can know today. Look at verse 19 beginning. Again, American Standard Translation. That we might know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of the strength of his might, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Someone said, if you really want to know how much energy there is, the empty tomb is the measurement. Energy this strong that could raise Jesus from the dead, that's the energy that works in us. And when we understand the magnitude of that energy, we begin to respect what God does. No man has ever wielded that kind of energy. The President of the United States, Vladimir Putin, the man who has his finger on the red button so he could unleash nuclear power, can't touch this kind of energy. Only God. Only God. Listen to the way the Apostle Paul describes the effect of this knowledge, this kind of energy. Ephesians 3 at verse 7, Paul says, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Philippians, the third chapter, verse 21, talking about God, who will fashion anew the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, according to the working whereby he is able even to subject all things unto himself. This is the power that God wields in our lives. Colossians 1 at verse 29, Paul says, whereunto I labor also, striving according to his working that works in me mightily. I'm not going to give up, but it's not because I have some inherent strength that I can find deep down in my bones. That's not the strength we rely on. That's not the power that we need. When you say, don't give up, you're not saying, reach down, find the strength within yourself. Grit your teeth. Keep going. What you're saying is God can give you that power. How do you get it? Here it is, Colossians 2 at verse 12. You want to know this power in your life. Paul says, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. There's your access to this power. It's baptism. It is the strongest force that you can unleash in your life. We want you to know that power. We want to help you. We'll baptize you today. But we want you to think about it. We're all going to face suffering. We're all going to face difficulties. We're all going to face crippling pain. But we can overcome it. Let us know we can help.